I'm watching these young people sing and participate around here and help out, and I was 2 months shy of being 19 when I got saved. Started a church as a single man. Started a church at age 21. I wouldn't recommend doing that. As a single man, started a church at age 24. Got a wife out of it. Got run out of town. And we started a church in DeLand. I was 28 years old. My wife was 22. And that was a long, long time. Tell every one of you young people, if I could go back and be 19 again, I would try to do better. I would try to do more. But I would do this again. I would do this again. There's not one time. Troubles, all the heartaches, splits, broken hearts. Not one time have I ever sat and said, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't lived this life. I wish I'd just gone on and lived out in the world. I tell you, I've had my heart broken in church, but I'd rather have it broke in church than out of church. And I praise the Lord for it. Well, I remember the good old days. We'd have these Bible conferences, not with me here, but even before we met each other. But y'all remember, we'd just run all over the Bible and see if we could see something we hadn't seen before. And the preacher wasn't trying to get us under conviction or make us decide to do anything or come to an altar or anything. We just had a good old time on a Friday night. And we're going to do that tonight. We're just going to have a good old time on a Friday night. If you hadn't repented and gotten right with God by now, it's not going to happen. So we didn't know. So I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. What better thing to do after 37 hours of travel from the Amazon to New York? Man, I go on these mission trips. I remember getting to Korea. It took us 34 hours to get to Korea. And all we wanted to do was get off that plane and go somewhere and go to sleep. And the pastor said, if you go to sleep now, you'll be off schedule. We're going to keep you up all day so you can go to bed at regular time. I was not very charitable that day. I was not very nice. I appreciate that, brother. Those are long days and long trips, but they're such a blessing, such a blessing. All right, let's pray together. Father, help me tonight. I'm so excited about what you showed me in your word. I remember many years ago coming across this truth that we're going to talk about tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to make it as exciting to the people that are here tonight as it was to me. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me to honor and magnify your Son, for he alone is worthy. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go to Luke chapter number 4. The Son of God is manifest in the flesh. He is ready to begin his earthly ministry. And the Bible says that he's baptized in obedience to the scriptures, and the Bible says in Luke 4:1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he's God manifest in the flesh. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's led by the Spirit, being 40 days tempted of the devil. That's really not something I want to hear to start a message. Get full of the Spirit, follow the Spirit, get as close to God as you can be, and he'll let you spend 40 days with the devil. But there he is. And while in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, the author of the scripture didn't rely on his own strength. He didn't battle the devil in his own intellect, though he certainly could have. But he left us an example. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. You don't fight the devil. You just put the word of God in his face. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. Doesn't that sound like an audacious statement to make? Doesn't that sound like the devil's overstepped the line? He said, every kingdom you see, it's under my control. all the glory that you see on this earth that's under my control. Imagine Satan saying that to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But look what he said. All this power I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, if you're a brand new Christian, you just walked into a church where the Bible's being preached, here's what happened. God made man, and God placed man on this earth, and God gave man dominion over this earth, and then the man gave it away. He didn't yield it back to God. He didn't say, God, this is too much for me. You run things. He didn't say, Lord, I'm being tempted. There's a serpent over there. No, he went and obeyed the temptations of the serpent and they ate that fruit. You know the story. And from that day forward, Satan, he didn't take control. He was given control by the man to whom God gave the control. But here's what he said. He said, Jesus, I know who you are. You know who I am. You know what happened. I know why you're here. I'll make a deal with you. I will give you, verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered, said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, Your liberal theologians, your careless Bible students, many preachers in our circles teach that Jesus Christ came to set up a kingdom, but somehow managed to get crucified. Jesus Christ did not come to set up a kingdom. He came to die on a cross and pay for our sins. Satan is offering him an opportunity to be the king over the kingdoms of the world and just let all of us go ahead and go to hell. Just go ahead, let them die in their sins and you can be the king and you can have the planet back and you can be in charge, but you got to bow down and worship me. I'll tell you what Jesus Christ had in mind. He had in mind paying for our sins, then taking over the world and then making Satan bow at his feet. And so he turned down the offer. But you know what that means? That means when Jesus came down off that mount of temptation, Satan still had dominion and still had controlling influence and power over the kings of the world and the glory of them. Have you ever, I mean, think about this. There are 50% of the people in America claim to be Christian and another 30% claim to be some other religion. Probably only 5-10% of the people in our country claim to be atheists. How come all of these people can sing so wonderfully? How come none of them make it big singing about Jesus Christ? There's 1,000 channels on TV. How come none of those channels survive glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ? Satan not only has a hold on the armies, he not only has a hold on the dictatorships, he not only has control over the kings and the rulers, he has control over who gets the glory. And he had it when Jesus walked down off that mountain. He had it when Jesus went to Calvary. The question is, did he have it when Jesus rose from the dead? Take a look with me in Matthew chapter number 28. Many, many pages to turn tonight. It'll keep you awake if you've been flying and traveling. Matthew 28, I hope. Matthew 28. If you traveled in from the Amazon, just go ahead and lay your head down and take a little sleep. That'll be okay. If you didn't travel from the Amazon and you do that, it's not okay. I'll be deeply offended. My feelings will be hurt. So, Jesus has died. He's buried. He's risen again. The Bible says in Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Praise God. But some doubted. He's got disciples that see him alive and risen from the dead, and they're still not sure what they're looking at. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. But I'm not seeing it. Hallelujah. But history doesn't seem to support that statement. I've read the history, some of the history of China, some of the history of Japan, pretty good bit about the history of Europe, a lot about the history of Rome and the Middle Ages, took some college classes on that. I've read the history of the United States. I'm not seeing this. I've read church history. I can't find a church history book that makes me think Jesus Christ ever had too much control over the churches that profess his name. So he's risen from the dead. He said, I got all power in heaven. He's risen from the dead. Said, I've got all power on earth. But other than every now and then seeing some charismatic church put up a billboard that says Jesus is Lord over Rochester, I'm not seeing any lordship of Jesus Christ. He doesn't seem to govern glory. He doesn't seem to govern the kingdom. He doesn't seem to get his way in much of anything, including our churches and our lives. Let's see if we can find a statement of the Bible that supports what we read in Matthew 28 or confuses us even farther and contradicts what we've seen in Matthew 28. Get 2 Corinthians 4 and Ephesians 2. I want you to get both of these at the same time. 2 Corinthians 4 and Ephesians chapter number 2. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. When we get there, you'll be glad you took the trip. 2 Corinthians 4, Ephesians chapter number 2. Satan has the kingdoms. Satan has the glory. Jesus rises from the dead, having paid for our sins. And he says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now, let's take a look at this. Ephesians 2. No, let's read Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, and is it not? Don't you witness to people and you show them the plan of salvation in four easy verses and they look right at it and say, I don't see that. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit of God told the Apostle Paul to tell you, this side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan is the God of this world. This side of the ascension of Jesus Christ, the right hand of the Father, Satan is the God of this world. Jesus Christ tonight is the resurrected Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the propitiation. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the ending. He's the first. He's the last. He's Almighty God. But he's not the God of this world. This world still rests in the power of Satan. Stay with me. Ephesians chapter 2. But it's more than that. It's more than that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened, praise the Lord, who were dead in trespasses and sins, thank God, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The whole world is going in one direction. That's why you got to repent to be saved. That's why when you get saved, you're going to have so much opposition you never had before you got saved. Because now you're going one way and the rest of the world is going the other way. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children disobedience. You know what you just read? Satan not only has governing, controlling power over the world that sits upon this earth, but up above your head, there is another sphere of power and of influence, and Satan runs that. That's what you just read. You know, you get together like this. You know why it's such a blessing to come and get together in church and be with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because the whole world out there is against what you believe. It's against what you're singing about. It's against what you love. It's against your hope and against your doctrine. The whole world's against it. And if you get a spaceship and go up there and fly around, you wouldn't find anybody up there agrees with you either. Not too many, not too much. Stay with me. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible in Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2. So Satan was given dominion over the earth. He offered it to Jesus. If Jesus would bow the knee to Satan, Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that. He went to the cross and rose from the dead. And had all power, but Satan still the prince, the power of the air. How strange. How seemingly Satan is exercising power and Jesus has power. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. So there's a new world coming, praise God. Unlike some of my brethren, I'm looking forward to the new world order. Because what you got going on now is just a continuation of the old world order that's been happening ever since Satan took over. But there's a world coming and God, he said, I'm not going to put that under the feet, under the authority of angels. I saw what they could do. Verse 6, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and yet thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. So God had angels. They rebelled and fell. So God made man, and he rebelled and fell. The Lord said, I gave the angels dominion, not doing that again. I gave the man dominion, I'm not doing that again. Rest of verse 8. But now, we see not yet, all things put under him. So God said, I gave man dominion, man lost the dominion. I'm not going to give man back the dominion, but I am going to give the dominion back to a man. Just not yet. I haven't done it yet. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So what did Jesus Christ do? He came down here not to take the kingdoms. He came down here not to rule the world. He came down here to taste death for every man. But when he rose from the dead, there's still this issue of the kingdoms of the world. There's still this issue of the glory of the world. There's still this issue of the power of the air. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he said to his disciples in Matthew 28, don't worry, I got it. I got it. But then Hebrews told you, don't look around and say, where's he got it? Because he doesn't have it yet. He's got it, but he doesn't have it. I'm so confused. Good. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to fight the flesh. Praise the Lord. And we're supposed to fight the world. Praise the Lord. And we're supposed to fight the devil. Not praise the Lord. I don't want to fight the devil. I really don't want to fight the world and the flesh, but it's on some level I feel like I might can handle that. I don't want to fight the devil. You want to fight the devil, help yourself. You want to call him out and tell him, you know, how great and powerful you are. And go ahead. We'll come around and help pick you up. But there's something else we got to do. And quite honestly, I can preach it. I can teach it. I have no idea how to do it. I have no instruction as to how to do it. Take a look at this. Verse number 11, Hebrews 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All right, I know who he is. I get that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And if you don't know what that means, you've never tried to build a church building. You got to fight all kinds of principalities you didn't even know existed. No, principalities against powers. Now watch. Against the rulers, not of this world, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like there's a Shah or a dictator or an imam in Iran, but he's only running the part you can see. There's somebody over him running the part you can't see. There's a president or a premier in China, and he's running the part you can see, but there's somebody over him running the parts you can't see. How do I fight that? You know what the Lord said? Put on the whole armor. Now what? Just put it on. Just stand there and hope you don't get run over. Don't you think that's interesting? He didn't say put on the whole armor of God and charge. He said put on the whole armor of God and hang on. It's going to take everything you got just to be standing there when this thing's over. So the world, it belongs to the devil. The air belongs to the devil. The kingdoms belong to the devil. The glory belongs to the devil. And then up above, over top of all that, is somebody that's running what you can see from a realm you can't see. I don't need Halloween, man. I don't need to go see monster movies. I don't need to see scary films. If I just think about what's in the Bible in the wrong places for too long, I am spooked. That Bible didn't, thank God, he never said, set your mind on the devil. Set your mind on things above. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. Have you ever read this book about demonology? No, and I'm not going to. Here's a good book, it'll teach you all about the occult. I don't want to learn all about the occult. I want to be just ignorant as I can be about all that stuff, and yet I'm supposed to fight against it. Take a look at this. Daniel chapter 10. Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter number 10. Daniel's a great man. He's probably as fine a man as there is anywhere in all the Word of God. And the Bible says in Daniel 10:2, or 10:1, third year Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. No bread, verse 3. Wine. No bath, verse 3. And so he's praying. And this man shows up. And his body, verse 6, like beryl, his face like lightning, his eyes like lamps of fire, his feet like polished brass, the voice of his words like the voice of multitude. Woo-hoo! Pretty scary. Pretty scary. Verse 10 or 9. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He's still not looking up. He drags him up. He's just on all fours. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. He is terrified. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first... Now watch. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. God heard your prayer the day you prayed and sent me with the answer, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 in 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now here's where, no disrespect to the Lord, please. No, I am not blaspheming. I'm just telling you, if it was up to me, I would trade 3 chapters of those names in Chronicles to get more right here. Because, you know, when Shobab and Dodo and all the rest of those guys have lived and died and had their kids, I want to know what this is. Here's all he tells me. This messenger from God leaves heaven to bring Daniel an answer to his prayer, and some prince up there in the heavenly realms interferes with him, and it takes that angel of God 21 days to fight his way past whoever that guy is. There's something going on up there. You know who Persia is down here? It's Iran. You know who Babylon is down here? Iraq. Strange thing, all the world is focused right over there. Strange thing, the fighting's all centered right around. Anyway, take a look. Verse number 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So Israel down here has Michael up there fighting somebody that Greece has up there. Isn't that odd? So here's what you got. You've got throne of God in the third heaven up there. You've got the second heaven, principalities, powers, spiritual powers, darkness, all up there in the darkness. And those princes, principalities, those governors of governments are fighting up there. And that fighting up there has apparently a great deal of influence over what's going on down here. That's why the Bible says you got to pray for those in authority over you that you may live a quiet and peaceable life, because you might get a godly man that fears God and believes the Bible and is president, and it might be more than just Democrats and news media that must take him out. It's forces that only you can deal with in a prayer closet. All right, so let's set all that aside just for a minute and bring in some more really wild, strange stuff out of the Bible. Come to Ezekiel chapter number 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's read about what von Däniken thought were UFOs. They were UFOs to him because he didn't know God. If you saw this and you didn't know the Lord, you would call it an unidentified flying object. If you're a Christian who believes in God and believes the Bible, it's an identified flying object. What we're going to read in Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, with very little comment, because we got to press through this. Very little comment. God has a throne in heaven. It is a great white throne, and it's a permanent structure. There's a throne the sun sits on that's like an emerald rainbow. And then there's a throne that God uses when he's traveling. God has a traveling throne. And strangely enough, it's like wheels with eyes all in the wheels and lightnings shooting out of that throne. You know, kind of like all the descriptions of the UFOs. Well, it's kind of like this wheel thing and have these windows all the way around and shooting out these lights. And yeah, we know. Try to catch up. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, the fourth month, fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened. And I saw visions of God. Not from God, of God. He said, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see God. I'm going to tell you what I saw. The fifth day of the month, the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi. Any of you ladies expecting, there's a good one, right out of the Bible. Buzi, little, you put another Z in there, little buzzy, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, that's where God lives, a great cloud of fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. Out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, and also out of the midst thereof, came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. You say you believe that's literal? Why not? Why not? God make a giraffe, God make a fat unicorn. You call it a rhinoceros. God make an elephant. God make a shark. Why can't God make this? Sure he can. And their feet were straight feet. The sole of their foot was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. You don't need to watch movies. Read your Bible. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. That's crazy, man. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another. Two covered their bodies, and they went everyone straight forward. It's always UFO, you know, strange thing about this UFO. It didn't like turn, it just went this way and then straight that way and then straight up and straight down. Yeah, we know. We know. We've been reading about them ever since we opened the Bible. Whether the spirit was to go, they went. You couldn't hear any noise, the thing. It just, it's spirit driven. And they turned not when they went. As the likeness of living creatures, their appearance like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Woohoo! I wish somebody could paint this. I mean, really, not just sketch draw. I will see just a lifelike painting. Oh, wow. But I'll get to see it one day, pretty soon. And living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Their appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. And that's in the Amplified version. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not as they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them, four. When the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. It's like a cluster of ships flying up there. Crazy stuff. When the son of the spirit was to go, they went, that it was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. So when God made the firmament, he kept some and he put it on these creatures' heads, and they wear firmament. So explain that. No, that's not tonight. Not tonight. Some other night. On the firmament with their wings straight, one toward the other, everyone had two which covered on this side, everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech is the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and had a brightness about, round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. I saw it. I put my face and heard a voice of one that spake. Now, we read all of that because I want you to just see. You don't have to understand, but I want you to see from the Bible. God has a throne that can be transported. And when that throne is transported and Almighty travels upon that throne, he is escorted by a host of creatures, terrifying, magnificent, strange, and curious creatures. And above that throne, and we're going to get it back one day, is a rainbow. And on that throne is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That throne comes down Ezekiel 1. Give Ezekiel some information. It comes down in Ezekiel 10. And God takes the ark that our brother preached about and carries it away for safekeeping until he brings it back at the second coming. Not tonight. Not tonight. Maybe some other time. Now, so let's review. Kings of the world. Prince of power of the air. Satan governs the kingdoms. He's got workers in the darkness, powers in the darkness that oversee, that influence the kingdoms. He controls the glory. They have a say in the glory. But then you've got God Almighty in the third heaven, who's got this traveling throne. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7. So all of that was to get to this. Daniel chapter 7. Here's what I read the booklet. I cut my Christian teeth on Brother Larkin's dispensational truth. Praise the Lord, I've still not read a better book outside the Bible. And you can disagree with it, not agree, it doesn't matter. There's a judgment of sins at Calvary. There's a judgment seat of Christ. There's a judgment of nations. There's a white throne judgment. There's another one. And without the other one, you can't have the judgment of nations. Take a look. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. There is the Almighty on his traveling throne. He's left the third heaven. That's what he does when he gets on this throne, and he's come down. Verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. This is not the judgment seat of Christ. Christians aren't there. This is not the white throne judgment. That's at the end of the 1,000-year kingdom. This is not the judgment of nations on the earth. There's no books opened there. What's going on? 11. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain. So where are we? Time-wise. Toward the end of the great tribulation. The beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives are prolonged for a season and a time. You know what God is doing here? While all that terrible tribulation is going on down there on the earth, and it's almost run its course, he gets that beast, throws that beast, kills him, and throws him in that fire. That traveling throne of God, he opens up the gate of heaven. He travels down into that second heaven, and he opens those books and says, all right, you. He calls in all of those principalities and powers and says, surrender your dominion. Before Christ comes to the earth to clean up the mess down here, his Father comes into the realm of darkness and cleans up the mess up there. And he takes back from those principalities and back from those powers, back from that rebel force that followed Satan to try to overthrow that throne. He says, give it up. And they all surrender their dominion to God the Father. Praise the Lord. Now, we're not done. Verse number 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, and his dominion is everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. How about that? Jesus Christ on that mount of temptation said, Satan, I am not going to get it from you. I'm going to get it from my Father. I am not going to get it for myself. I'm going to get it because I denied myself and laid down my life to make atonement for sin, to satisfy my Father. And God the Father comes down and he says, Persia, give it up. Greece, give it up. China, give it up. Peru, give it up. United States, give it up. And those that had dominion are going to give that dominion to the Ancient of Days. And then with wonder, the host of heaven is going to watch as the Son comes down out of the third heaven
to the Father in the second heaven. And the Father says, here you go, my boy. They're all yours. They're all yours. Take the kingdoms. Take the glory. Go get them, son. He gets the dominion, he gets the principality, he gets the power from his Father up there before he comes down here and gets the kingdoms of the world. There is a judgment in Daniel 7 of the principalities and powers and the spiritual darkness that has caused so much harm in this world, and God the Father personally is going to take them out. Because that's his realm. And he's going to give the dominion and the kingdoms to his son. Now watch this. Come to Revelation chapter 11. Didn't Jesus say he had all power in heaven and earth? What'd the Father just do? He took the power, he took the dominion, he took the kingdoms, gave them to his son. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Verse number 13. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men, 7,000. The remnant were affrighted, gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel. There's seven. This is the seventh. The witnesses just departed the scene. They're all the witnesses are gone. We're closing on the tribulation. And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. They are announcing before Jesus comes, he's got the kingdoms. He's got the kingdoms. The Father just took the kingdoms and gave them to the Son. Here he comes. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks. Now look, O Lord God Almighty, the Lord and his Christ. You know who they're praising here? They're praising the Father, the Almighty, because he seized the kingdoms and the glory from principalities and the powers, and they're worshiping him. He's given the Son, and down's going to come the Son. And so they say, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come. Praise the Lord. God the Father takes out the principalities and powers, gives dominion to God the Son, and now the all power in heaven on earth that was his by right when he rose from the dead is his by possession at his second coming. Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Jesus Christ in Revelation 19 has left the third heaven. He has not touched down upon the earth. He is on his way. He is on his way to fight at Armageddon. He is on his way to a throne at Jerusalem. He is on his way to take over the governments down here. But look what you read. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And his righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. You say, well, that's the ones we cast at his feet. I'm not going to fight with you about it. But he's not coming back to wear crowns to rule over his church. He's coming back to wear crowns to rule over the earth. And the Bible says, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed, the vesture dipped in blood. I've often wondered if that's the garment the soldiers gambled for. and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He has not smitten the nations yet. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He's not ruling them yet. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look, he hasn't gotten here yet. He hasn't defeated any kings yet. He hasn't taken over any dominion from any lord yet. But God the Father has already given it to him. This banner on, son. I took all the kingdoms, they're yours. I took all the lordships, they're yours. I took all the dominion. Put it on, son. It's yours. Go get it. He is not coming back to earth to take the kingdoms. The Father is going to give him the kingdoms. He's going to come back to rid the earth of everybody that doesn't like it. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is the risen Son of God. He accomplished everything he came to do at his first coming. He didn't strike out, fail to set up a kingdom, and manage to get himself crucified, and God turned it into something good by a way for us to be, an easier way for us to be saved. No. He came down here to die to pay for your sins. Satan said, why don't we just skip that and I'll give you the kingdoms. But if Satan gave Jesus the kingdoms of the earth, it left the principalities and powers in place. You'll never have 1,000 years of peace. You couldn't possibly. So Jesus said, no, I'll go to that cross and die. I'll rise from the dead. And when I rise from the dead, I'll know because I pleased my Father. All this power is mine. All this glory is mine. And I'll go sit there and I'll build my church and wait until the time has come. And when my church is finished, I'll bring them up here and get them out of the way. If God, my Father, pour out 21 tribulation judgments on this earth, and when it's just about over, he'll get on his traveling throne. He'll come down to that second heaven. He'll call in all those principalities and powers and say, give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. And then his son will ride down with the armies out of heaven. He will get the crowns. He will get the glory. He will get the kingdoms. He will put on that banner. And then he'll come down here and take what is his. Not because the devil gave it to him, but because his Father gave it to him. Not because the United Nations voted him in, but because his Father crowned him with glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're wasting your time with Fox News and CNN. They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea. Well, what do you think this means? I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means the Father hadn't made a move yet. But when he does, it'll all belong to Jesus. Praise God. Are you saved?
Yes.
You're on the winning side. Whatever the headlines say, whatever the flash bulletin says, we win. And when I say we, I mean Jesus. I'm just in him. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the hope it gives us, the assurance it gives us, the confidence it gives us. I pray for these young men, these young ladies, they get excited about a book that's greater than any book in any library, in any bookstore. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.